Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and happy Friday. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios, where we have extra doses of fun, mayhem, excitement, hot sports opinions, everything you need in a Friday night. But Mike, I got to start here because this is what I'm a little upset about this. Maybe I should also open the phone lines at 877-99 on Fox, because according to ABC,
yeah,
President Trump has turned to Alex Rodriguez for advice this week on life in the coronavirus.
Well, why wouldn't you?
I mean, yeah, a source close to A-Rod said the phone call was pleasant, adding that Trump was seeking thoughts from A-Rod about the coronavirus response. So if he's calling A-Rod, at some point they're going to get to you and I, right? I mean, at some point we're going to get that phone call.
We're just a couple of notches down the list. I mean, look, obviously 400-plus affiliates nationwide, the worldwide audience, all the social media interaction, all the takes from last night that showed up today. I mean, we are movers and shakers and influencers of the highest degree, so we can't be too far down the list. I mean, it's got to be coming here this next week, I got to think.
All right, so what do you think was more likely? One, that President Trump actually thought A-Rod was actually half man, half minotaur, like the painting that's up above his fireplace in his house in New York, or he was just calling to get to talk to J-Lo?
I think it was a little bit of both. You're also trying to get the influencers out there, right, with whatever message you want to get them to convey, right? They've got millions upon millions of followers, and the TikTok they did the other day, maybe he was just calling to congratulate them on how well that went. Like, they did a family thing. Then they were playing baseball in the backyard. There was all those things. There was the big reveal, right? The TikTok was A-Rod at the front, then all the kids, and then J-Lo had like curled herself into a little ball so you couldn't see her behind the kids. It was really kind of creepy. And then all of a sudden she sprung forth like the butterfly from the cocoon, and away you go. So maybe he was impressed by that and wondering how to replicate that. I don't know. Maybe looking for some thoughts on what the baseball season will look like when it actually happens. I don't know. There's a million permutations here.
See, I really think he was just trying to call to get to J-Lo, because that's what I would have done. Yeah, Alex, hey, listen, get Alex on the phone. I'll talk to him for a couple of minutes, and then I'll ask him to pass the phone on to Jennifer, and that's the real conversation, right?
That would be added value if there was a video chat going on. Although I do like your Minotaur thing. Maybe one of the monitors in the White House and all the briefing rooms is turned to USA, Sci-Fi, whatever channel, is constantly showing Harry Potter films. So there was actually a Minotaur in one of the scenes. Maybe he was wondering if he was an extra there.
Hey, that guy who played for the Yankees, he was half Minotaur, right? All right, let's call him up. He might have some good thoughts on how to deal with the coronavirus. Let's go. If he's half Minotaur, well, he's got to be able to withstand stuff to be able to go through whatever happened to his body to make him half human and half Minotaur, because he's like half human at the top, right, and half Minotaur on the bottom. Yeah, I mean, that's some kind of operation.
Well, party on the bottom. There's no question about it, as you look for. Also, it's a thing of legend.
Did you really just go party on the bottom?
I did. It is a big Friday
party
night
on the bottom.
As we get going. Well, I mean, your man on top, party on the bottom. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it.
Did that work? Did that line work at Northwestern with the co-ed?
Twice every time I go out.
I'm business on top and party on the bottom. I'm sorry. Have you invented anything, any apps or anything like Facebook? This is Northwestern. This isn't Syracuse.
Well, it really doesn't matter because I'd be slapping down an NDA right behind it.
Okay.
So I could say whatever I wanted because the NDA was coming right behind. So,
I mean, I could have
made up anything I wanted.
You know, the mullet is business up front and party in the back, but you are business up top and party on the bottom.
Well, I'm trying to make No Pants Friday movement.
Okay, well, you've been trying to do that for like the last 6.5 years.
Yeah, but see, now I actually get to work from the comfort of my home.
Oh, okay. All right.
Which means it's actually more doable.
It's actually more doable for me, too. I if you do No Pants Friday from home and you're not in my home, I am okay with that.
No, that's
right. As long as nobody else in your home is not okay with it. It's got to be
gonna,
just
who's
you.
Who's going to object?
I'm just making sure that you're, you know that you're okay there, and I don't need to rescue anybody.
No, everybody's good.
Armin just walks around the house with no pants. It's really getting to me. All right.
Well,
sometimes
you're Donald Ducking it, Porky Pigging it. insert here. I mean, cartoon characters all around.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best pantsless friend, Mike Harmon. So while the president is looking to Alex Rodriguez for help in these trying times, Major League Baseball made an announcement today in which we can now really see what and how sports are going to return. Because, you know, look, I don't want every night to be, when is this coming back? Everybody's going to be asking that, obviously, but at some point it's going to be, all right, you know what, we're going to get through life here for a bit. But still, because we're in the newish part of, you know, quarantine life with coronavirus, it's, you know, when's coming? 2 weeks now have gone by, and everybody's been in some kind of self-isolation for a little bit, and everybody, when are you coming back? I mean, these are the discussions after 9/11. When are you coming back? When are you going to play baseball again? When are you going to play football again? When's it happening? But this story today specifically gives us a window into not just baseball, but I think other sports as well. Because remember, last night, LeBron went on a podcast with Richard Jefferson. Where is Richard Jefferson? And he said the NBA with no fans isn't something he's down for, that you play for the energy of the fans, you play to them at home, you play against them on the road. And basically saying, hey, NBA owners, if you think we're just going to come back when you want us to, when you say, oh, okay, coronavirus cases are down, you're a little bit mistaken. It's going to be a little bit more difficult than that.
Now, from last night, though, Jason, just for those that missed it, I mean, part of it is LeBron keeps flip-flopping and extending on those takes along the way. In the end, you're in a partnership with the league, so once there is a clearance, I know they're going to have pushback, and the PA is going to have a big say in it, and certainly LeBron James will, too. But in the end, if Mark Cuban and the other owners and Adam Silver, it's declared ready for business. If you're saying you're not going to show up, I mean, you're part of a multi-billion-dollar operation, and fans want games. So if it if it does get to the point that they're ready to play, and if it is in a compromised state, i.e., no fans, what's he going to do? Take his ball and go home?
I think that you are underestimating the power of the players in the NBA. This is what Adam Silver has done the past years, is really empower the players to do that. So if something comes up that, hey, we get the okay to play, but there's no fans going to be there, the players are going to raise their hand and say, so if it's unsafe to have a lot of fans, why is it safe for us when we're the ones banging against each other? We're going to be sweating on each other and passing bodily fluids in contact. If it's not safe for them, how's it going to be safe for us? And that's going to be something where the NBA goes, I don't have a good answer to that. Let me get Anthony Fauci on here, the doctor, and he can talk about it.
I'm sure that'll, you know? But the point is, you know, how much further beyond, right? Because as we get to the baseball side of things, they've got their list of demands. If this is where the new norm is, but just from the LeBron James side of things, of just pushing that out, pushing that narrative, as we joked a little bit with it yesterday, it becomes a more adversarial situation than it needs to be.
Well, sure.
At this present time.
If that's the case and they say, hey, we're coming back, but there's still all these restrictions, we don't want to come back. I mean, that's what the NBA players are going to say. That's what any player is going to say. Wait a minute.
Right.
We're worried about the health. So the fact that baseball comes out today and says, here's the stipulations in which players are going to come back, this tells me that you're looking at a somewhat quick return in May or June for sports. I know you're going to see that, because the big things coming from the agreement Major League Baseball and the players are, they'll come back and play when there are no bans on mass gatherings that would limit the ability to play in front of fans. So if they aren't going to play until mass gatherings are okay, that's going to be a little bit further down the road than just, hey, we can come back and play and maybe play in front of no fans. They also said we won't come back until there's no travel restrictions throughout the United States and Canada, and medical experts say there's no health risks for players, staff, or fans revisiting the idea of playing in empty stadiums. So the fact that, hey, we're looking at basically life being nearly back to normal, because when mass gatherings are allowed again in the United States, that's where we'll be back to normal. When we can go to the mall, we can go to, and businesses are open, that's normal life. But that's going to be a little bit further away than just the next 2.5, 3 weeks, month, or whatever it is. So the fact that baseball has agreed to this with their players, and this is a sport that has the least physical contact of any sport. It's outdoors, and the players, yeah, you have a couple of people that are close to each other, but they're not sweating on top of each other and banging like they are in the NBA and the NHL. If this is what baseball's doing, this tells me the NBA, NHL, MLS, all the other things, you're looking at, we're getting into the summer, months, early summer months before we can even think about having sports come back. If this is a guideline, and I think if baseball put this guideline out there, I wouldn't be surprised that the NBA, the NHL, MLS, they all fall in line and go, yep, this is going to be our guidelines too.
No, and that's fine, but that, my point goes exactly to that of, this is something that's in the league and players association negotiation. Not, hey, I'm hanging out with Richard Jefferson on a podcast. Let me wax poetic about how much I love my fans and basketball's not the same. No, basketball's the same. You're still trying to vanquish the five guys on the court. Sure, crushing the souls of the fans is an added bonus along the way, especially those when you're on the road and they're sitting courtside and you're crushing their hopes and dreams. But it's more just, it's a larger discussion than just, all right, I'm on a podcast. You know what? I got to just say, without the fans, it doesn't resonate. Like, no, you still play basketball. The game is still played on the 94-foot court.
Right, but this is LeBron, who doesn't do anything that's not calculated, hearing the whispers, hearing when they're talking about coming back and maybe playing in front of no fans, and LeBron knowing when I say something, it's going to get picked up and people are going to respond to it. I mean, it's a calculated move by him last night saying, hey, no fans, why are we playing with that? I'm telling you, Adam Silver, as in a nice way, so we don't wind up having a face-to-face showdown on it, that playing in front of fans is not something that I want, and I speak for the NBA. So, I mean, this is LeBron trying to say, let's communicate through the media a little bit here while we're still in the infant days of it, and, still a return is a long ways away. But let me tell you, before you go too far down the road of thinking we're going to come back and play when there's no fans.
Well, it's still just the larger conversation. I just don't think it needs to be played out in the media. Like, I think it much like the, hey, let's keep throwing up random dates and asking the question. The question's got to be answered. But, yeah, it's so early to determine any of this. And I know everybody keeps wanting to push. I mean, how many times has your school return date changed in the last week and a half?
Yeah, it's been pushed through. Yeah, we're pushed through May 1st now, I think, right?
Right? So, I mean, it's gone, for 2 weeks, then 2 weeks, and we just got another email here in Southern, just down the road from you in Southern California of the, we're going into phase two of how we're going to deploy new information, and it's actually going to include new information as opposed to just keep your skills sharp. So everybody's settling in. So nobody's putting an actual date on any of it now. It's the nebulous in the future, and I think that's where we're at with all these sports as well. So the baseball taking the lead, give Rob Manfred and his team credit for whatever they hammered out with the PA to just say, all right, this is where we're at. We can at least stipulate to this. There's this giant pile of cash that they're guaranteed even if a game doesn't get played. They did a good job. I would hope the Players Association for the NBA is doing the same thing, and guys aren't just going to pop on podcasts because they're bored and throw stuff out.
Well, but this is how people communicate. They communicate through the media, whether it's for free agency, whether it's for decisions that are coming down. This is how it's done. This is just an extension because this is what's normal for athletes. How do I want to get this message out? I talk to somebody, or I do an interview, or I do a podcast, or I put it out on social media. I mean, this is just how they do it. Now, is this more serious than trying to put out a message going, boy, I'd love for Anthony Davis to come play for the Lakers? Sure. But this goes along with what players like to do, in that this is how they do it. So this is just from the playbook of, okay, I want something to get back to somebody. I'm going to say it through the media, and it's going to wind up getting back to them.
Doesn't have that bat phone, huh?
No.
Still doesn't have Adam Silver's number.
Bat phone's tough. Bat phone is tough.
Still can't just pick up the phone and make the call.
You couldn't just say phone. You had to say bat phone. You couldn't just say phone.
Yeah, dude, I'm trying to entertain myself, too. I mean, if he can go on podcasts and throw stuff up about the fans or whatever, vexing you about using anything related to the term Batman is fun for me. So beat
it. But you can't just say Batman for... Oh, I can't believe I did that. You can't just say it for no reason. It's got to be a way to...
I didn't. It was a
bat phone. No, you just shorn that in.
The bat phone has become a euphemism for how do I get your secret line, slide into your DMs and tell you what I think.
Okay. You want to know something really spooky right now?
Go ahead.
I'm not a conspiracy theory guy unless it's a fun one, okay?
That's not true.
You ever notice that when you go online and you browse at a website, like, well, you know me, I like to browse of hats or everything and all a bunch of stuff.
Computer smokes in the studio sometimes.
So when you go on whatever website you go on, suddenly those items that you looked at pop up on the side. Like, here's the hats you were looking at, lids, everything. They're tracking you. It's like, okay, that's interesting. And, you know, it's weird to say that, okay, what just going to a website online and then going to another one, they can track my what I'm saying, what I'm doing. Now, that's real. That's one thing. Now, we are talking about Batman. All right, I said it again. All right, we're talking about Batman. All right? Just talking about it.
Yep.
I haven't done any searches for Batman, nothing. But next to the story of the MLB, which I have on my computer, is lids, because I was browsing the hats over the course of
really?
Yeah, I was.
Is that your version of porn on a Friday night?
No, but I found a really cool, sweet one that's like the Hartford Yard Goats, but it's Whalers Night. So
I do like that Yard Goat.
The Yard Goat's got a hockey stick in his mouth. I'm like, ooh, I want to buy that. So that was what I was browsing. So now lids has all these things coming up, and I am not lying to you. I'm not lying. This is 100% true. While we were talking about Batman, it's cycling through the hats that they have. So I see the Yard Goat hat, a couple other ones. And then a hat of Batman and Robin comes up. Right in the middle of that. Oh, here's Batman and Robin. And it's, it's Batman's head, Robin's head on front of
Batman.
A hat. And I'm like, I have not browsed that. How is suddenly the Batman and Robin hat coming up in the mix of here's the Hartford Yard Goats and the Staten Island Yankees and the Syracuse Chiefs? How do I get that? How does a powder blue Batman and Robin hat come up? I mean, really, I might have to leave my studio. I got to level my house and go find something else. I feel like Will Smith, an enemy of the state. I mean, they're listening to me now. They're listening in.
Man,
they know.
I've been telling you for years, the walls have ears, and it's not just your bosses.
They know, man. They know. They just know
what
I'm browsing.
Why do you think I took Alexa out back and I went office space like that printer?
I can't believe that. I mean, it's Batman and Robin.
Exactly.
I'm scared now, man. You know what?
Mr. Stark.
Well, hang on a second. You know what I would like is I'd like a phone call tonight from Christina Hendricks.
Nicely done.
Let's see. Put it out there.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Maybe you've checked around on Twitter tonight or gotten online and you're wondering, why is Alex Rodriguez trending? Why is A-Rod trending? And unless you've seen it, you're never going to guess. But it's okay, because I'm going to tell you right now. A source close to A-Rod told ABC News that President Trump called him because Trump was seeking thoughts from A-Rod about the coronavirus response. Sources say there was no discussion of A-Rod or Jennifer Lopez taking on any official effort, but Trump decided to call A-Rod to get his opinion on how to handle the coronavirus pandemic. Alex Rodriguez is now the hero that we need to help us through this time.
Well, he's got that business show, right? Helping
he
business
does.
Owners get
sure.
things moving along, right? That's something that's out there. Uh-huh. He's a guy that's made $1 billion. So, I mean, that's has some value. He was able to fall in love and ensnare the affections of one Jennifer Lopez. So that works out pretty nicely for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he's a man. Well, I mean, he's got many skills, not just one set of particular skills.
Well, the thing is Trump, you know, people have now, of course, because there's a tweet for everything. So people have gone through finding all the things that Trump has criticized Alex Rodriguez for before he became president, when A-Rod's just a baseball player and all the stuff going on with the performance enhancing drugs and everything else. And but you know what? It's okay. You know, this is years later. Everything is fine. But there's a tweet for everything.
There generally has been, and that's the frightening level of this kind of thing when you go back and forth. you don't normally expect it to get so specific, right? There, how many tweets has he made on his account? I'm not sure what the number is, but the fact that they're so specific, right? It's not even a, hey, read into this and it could be applied to this situation or this guy. Mm-hmm. No, there's generally a very specific pointed tweet towards that individual or that situation. It's really remarkable.
I mean, just
it's like
think-
a bot is running things. I mean, it, you know, it's like your Batman hat showing up in the right navigation. Right, hey, buy this hat.
Just think where we are. We started the week by debating, wait a minute, do we have to choose saving the elderly or saving the economy? And on Friday night we're at, Alex Rodriguez is giving his opinion for how to deal with the coronavirus.
He's a superhero in his own right.
I mean, what what's he going to do? Well, you know what? If the coronavirus was a splitter, I would move up in the box and I would want to get it before it could really, you know, do its job breaking. I'd also want to try to foul it off because they're not going to throw me that pitcher twice in a row. Now, if the coronavirus was a slider, I'd try to slide a little bit slyly towards box when I knew it was coming. And so I could kind of go with that pitch to the outside, maybe hit it to right field into the power alley because, you know, I had that kind of skill. Is this helping you, sir?
I think that's a pretty good start. I mean, there were a lot of things over the course of his career that might be helpful in terms of answering questions. Alex Rodriguez has done a lot of publicity tours through the years. That mm-hmm. might be helpful.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just going back to the TikTok from earlier this week where they did a little dance thing where he started it off and then all the kids danced. And then there was, like, surprise, it's Jennifer Lopez at the back end of it.
Oh, maybe
see,
that's
like
what
that
it
joke.
Is.
That was
wait
pretty
a minute.
Funny too.
I see.
But maybe
that
he wants
Lopez
to do something like that with the White House. It's like where he either leads or he's the end game.
I think this could be one of those things where I'm just calling A-Rod to actually at one point get to Jennifer Lopez. Yeah, I really want to talk to her, so I'm just going to talk. Yeah, whatever you say, A-Rod. Yeah. Hey, is Jennifer there by any chance? So don't, and then you get J-Lo on the phone, and then that's who you really wanted to talk to.
I like that. You know, you're also trying to look at someone to do some PSAs. That's not a bad way to go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, they did say there was nothing about taking on an official role. So it could just be, you know, it could be, hey, are you going to do Out of Sight 2 at some point? You know, how about Money
Train
2? Oh,
that would be good. Bring that back. That was a good one.
Is that going to happen? Because, you know, I actually had that. Yeah, this is how crazy I am.
I thought you were going to say you had a spec script for that.
No. I had a spec script for Money Train 2. Okay, there's more money, and it's not on a train, it's on a plane. So it's actually Money Train, : Money Plane. How about that? Does that work? Is that I actually had this when I was – I could tell this story now because my wife is on the other side of the house, and she's not listening. So is that like – there was a point when I graduated – college, and before I went from college to the job I had at ESPN as a production assistant, there was like a good year and a half there in the middle where I just had like no confidence. No, it was just like, what was I, you know, am I ever going to get a job that I really like? Am I, you know, one of those things? Because look, your early 20s is a tough age because you're trying to figure out life from, all right, I've been taking care of my whole life and I'm coming off the time of my life in college or wherever you're coming off of.
Having the time of your life.
Yeah, and now you're trying to figure out life, and it's like, okay, now you got to get a job and you got to get up every day. And you know what? Your parents aren't going to be there to hold your hand anymore through it. So it's a really tough age. And I, you know, when I was in college and I got to points where I was just like, you know what? If I liked a girl, I would just go up and talk to her and try to and see what happened. If it worked, it worked. If it didn't, it didn't. But there was a point where there was a couple of girls I remember meeting that I was interested in them. And I got to the point where I'm like, I don't know that they're going to like me. I need to go through one of their friends first. And then, you know, like she's going to bring me into the group. And then she's going to like me. I mean, how asinine is that? But there's a couple of girls I thought they went, okay, I'm going to talk to this one girl. And, you know, if she's okay with me, bring them in the group, then there's the other girl that I like. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't. I just can't believe I would actually think about something like that. But maybe that's what's happening here. Maybe I'm going to go through. Because you can't just call and talk to J-Lo. You gotta kind of go through.
I think if I'm the president of the United States, I could call and ask for whoever the hell I want.
Oh, yeah, I guess you could.
There's the possibility that they always say no, just like those girls that you were trying to get with on the college side of things. I mean, there is that possibility.
Yeah, that was I can't believe I did that.
But what was your in? Who was the one? Was it the weak one of the group?
No,
I mean, how did you get the most social of the group?
It was the weak one, like the Lions looking for Will to beat.
She was lagging behind, and you decided, all right, she's the one.
No, it was – well, here's the first – it was one of my best friends and I. We meet these two girls out at a bar one night. And, you know, we had a good time with them. Like, oh, yeah, we should all hang out one night and, you know, give us a call.
Wow, you got invited to one of those parties just like that.
No, it wasn't a party. It was we should all hang out one night. Oh, let's hang out one night. Like we met them at a bar, like, on a Monday night. Yeah, like, later on this week. Okay. So, you know, we each get in exchange phone numbers. And, all right, great, we'll figure it out. So I tell my friend Steve, I go, all right, well, which one do you like? He goes, I like both of them. I said, all right, well, I kind of like this one. And let's just say her name was Jeanette. Like, we'd say it was Jeanette and Alice. That's not their real names. It really is their real names. No, it's not their real names. So say I like Jeanette. And I was like, all right, great. And then I said, all right, but if I call Jeanette, maybe she doesn't like me. Maybe she's going to like Steve. So I don't know. So you know what? I'm going to, and this is back when beepers were the big thing. I said, I'm going to page Alice, talk to her, and set up a time for all of us to go out, like, later on in the week. And I didn't really like Alice. I mean, she was very nice. I just didn't like her. I liked her friend. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to page her. So I page her. I call her. I talk to her for about 10 minutes. She goes, yeah, Thursday night sounds really good. I'm like, all right, great, that's cool. And then, like, you know, she goes, oh, yeah, let's just check in, like, on Wednesday. I said, okay, cool. She called me on Wednesday. Are we all going out? Yeah, everything's great. And then we go out on Thursday night, and I'm like, now I'm talking to Alice, and Steve's with Jeanette. And that's, like, how it was. And I was like, oh, that was just stupid. Why did I do it? And then, like, they left. And, they left together. And I'm like, it's me and Alice. And I'm going, this is weird. Okay. And then I'm thinking, why did I do that? Why didn't I just call Jeanette and do the, because now this is how it would have worked out. And so I was really mad at myself for that. But I just, you know, for that year and a half there, the kid didn't have his confidence. I was just going to ask
the obvious question.
Yeah.
Did you make the best of the situation that you had in front of you?
No. It was one of those things where it was like, okay. We'll figure things out, and I'll call you. Yeah, I'll call you, and then that was kind of it.
No, that's too bad.
Yeah, well, no, it's not. Look, nobody had hurt feelings or expectations, and I mean me for the hurt feelings. And it turned out okay, but it was
you didn't
just,
have to get all
like
up
that
in your
time,
feels.
It's like I lost my fastball for about a year. I was like Justin Verlander, like, you know, I was dominant, and then suddenly, oh man, what am I going to do? Am I going to reinvent myself? And then I need that trade to the Astros, and look how good things are for me. And you know, people started banging the trash can, and I'm like, I got the confidence.
All I thought
the
they were doing
back.
Was cheering us. Exactly.
I know. Oh, but I'll tell you what, that year and a half there, that was tough. Making that phone call. Got to call. If you like somebody, you can call who you like.
See, there you go. And now you can Zoom them.
How we got there from the president calling Alex Rodriguez, it made sense.
Well, you said he may have needed the intermediary of Alex Rodriguez, and then we get to a story in the life of one Jason Smith.
Yeah, or President Trump thought A-Rod was really half-man, half-minotaur, like the painting up over his fireplace in
New York. Watching Harry Potter and thought maybe that was real?
Because, listen, if you think a guy could survive being made half-man, half-minotaur, you got to think he can survive coronavirus, and why not know these things? Because if you're bottom half-minotaur, top half-man, well, I need to talk to you then. I need to know what you know.
Party in the back.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Matt Miller of Bleacher Report reported earlier today that many people around the league believe that the team that could be moving up for a quarterback in the NFL draft would be... Oh, I was waiting for Cleveland. The team that might be
moving up... You already
told
me it's not.
I told you it's not, but I
spoiler,
I know
it's not.
You can't help yourself. You're thinking, maybe I was really doing a double tease, and I was teasing the story and said it wasn't Cleveland, but it really is Cleveland.
I couldn't do it to myself again.
No, it's not that. You know what? Hey, that's smart right there, man. You know,
Thanks, Jay.
Long it took me, Tyshirt, to realize when I was younger that, boy, this girl really doesn't like me, and this is not one of those, oh, she's playing hard to get, and I should stop embarrassing myself. Sometimes took me a long time to realize that.
No kidding.
You're learning that very early. I get that's a very big lesson to learn.
Thank you, my friend.
You got it. So it's not Cleveland. It is
Cleveland! John Gruden.
It's John Gruden and the Oakland Raiders. Matt Miller reporting, many insiders around the league believe John Gruden will not be able to help himself with this quarterback class. Now, you would think, in theory, that the Raiders would be all set. Well, they have Derek Carr. They brought in Marcus Mariota. Why would they be going after a quarterback? Well, there's two big things that will go into this equation. That's why I give this all kinds of credence. Number one, Gruden can't help himself when it comes to quarterbacks.
Sure.
He would think a perfect quarterback room would be, I have the starter, then I have the capable backup who can start, then I have the third string who is the quarterback of the future that eventually will leapfrog these guys. He would have seven quarterbacks on his roster if he could. He's that much of a if I have this 53-man roster and I could have 15 quarterbacks, I'd put them all on there, get them all reps. I mean, he's insane when it comes to quarterbacks. There's nothing he thinks he can't do. This is why I'm surprised that Derek Carr is still actually the quarterback, but because of
Gruden's haven't gotten affinity, the right offer for him yet.
Yeah, because of his affinity for QBs, you know, number one, I can't dismiss that he would go after a guy early, whether it's Justin Herbert, who's a guy that is gaining on a lot of people's draft boards, or something, you know, who, depending on what happens with Tua Tagovailoa, if he falls, if he's not taken at two or three. But the other part of is that I'm still not sold that Derek Carr is going to be the quarterback of the Raiders. You know, you would need to get into the NFL draft and teams that suddenly are in the market for a quarterback that would say, okay, you know what? Derek Carr is going to be a pretty good fit here. Whether it's Bill Belichick calling up going, all right, we got our quarterback of the future. We're going to get him in the third round, but hey, why don't we give you this for Derek Carr? And Derek Carr is the guy who's in and being the bridge quarterback with New England. We know he completes a high percentage of passes. He's someone that has had some kind of success. And Derek Carr certainly would be attractive to more than just a couple of teams in the NFL. But I think that's how it could go down during the draft, is that, all right, here's where we're at, and such a team got their quarterback. They did it. And so we'll get our quarterback, and then let's turn around and go, all right, who wants Derek Carr? You know, we'll make our move up, whether it's for Justin Herbert or whoever we really want to get. We got them between them and Marcus Mariota. They can battle it out to start, but I'm done with Derek Carr because you know Derek Carr is not Gruden's guy. So then they make that quarterback pick. Then they turn around and go, okay, best offer for Derek Carr here. What do you give me in a draft? And then they have another pick coming up in the third round, fourth round, whatever it winds up being.
Let me just go back to his evaluation of Derek Carr, because everybody that defended him went to completion percentage and this and that. It's like they were inefficient in the red zone. Absolutely awful decision-making in a lot of those circumstances from Derek Carr. And they didn't put points on the board, right? Their defense did all they could, even with injuries, suspensions, whatever else, to put them in position to win games. They didn't finish drives in the red zone consistently throughout the season. So, yeah, John Gruden's done. Moving between the 20s, he'd had enough, and he did everything he could to take the back of the shovel to that legend of Derek Carr and how effective he was this past year. Completion percentage, void of points, means absolutely nothing in the National Football League, and it's about time people start recognizing that. It's all about scoring points and preventing points. Yes, sounds simple and really doesn't need to be said, but I feel like it needs to be said. Mariota's contract is, you've got a good guaranteed base, but a lot of incentives to where he can get paid a lot of money, which by negotiating that deal and having it done so quickly would lead me to believe that there was a lot of talk of, all right, here's things that are going to be achievable for you based on the circumstances ahead. And Derek Carr, I'm sure there's another team that would be happy to plug him in that has a defense, that has a run game, and maybe he's not a guy that gets moved until we get back into action and you have one of those first injuries in camp and you need that placeholder guy to push you forward into whatever the next era is while you get ready to draft your heir apparent if things really go awry. But I fully expect, like I said, with the Bears and Nick Foles, I think Marcus Mariota is going to be your starter week one.
You know, and I can see that. That's another scenario that you brought up, that we actually go to camp and the Raiders have these three quarterbacks, and for whatever reason, one team is not as happy. And look, Derek Carr doesn't have a ton of trade value. Does he have decent trade value? Sure. But it's not like, oh boy, I'd love to pry Derek Carr loose from the Oakland Raiders.
Right.
But you get to that point where suddenly here are the teams, and we're actually playing football on time, and we're into the end of July, and players are showing up, and hey, Mariota grasps the playbook pretty good. So does the young quarterback. quarterback they take in the draft, and now suddenly Derek Carr is just holding both of them back. And so here's a early training camp trade to a team that either doesn't like their quarterback situation or it hasn't panned out the way they wanted to. I could see that as part of it, too. I just think that Derek Carr in the draft, when the Raiders are saying, give us a fourth or a fifth round pick, someone's going to say, all right, you know what, I'll pull the trigger on that now. We get a quarterback that we could play, and we're feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, his contract's certainly not immovable, right? It's not like he's got some monster tag out there. He's on the sales rack in terms of where starting quarterback dollars are, because he signed that contract a couple of years ago. But as we know, with John Gruden, they're trying to build a culture, change things up, and they're excising anything that was inefficient. And Derek Carr, for all the completions, inefficient. So he will be moved at some point. Sorry, I'm sure I got blocked by the Carr family.
You're
for
done
saying
now.
That right there.
You're blocked by Derek Carr. You're blocked by David Carr. You're blocked by Antoine Carr. You're blocked by Chuck Carr.
Brandon, they might call Brandon Carr and just tell him to block me too.
Anthony Carr has blocked you. Sure.
Yeah,
Ralph Garr has blocked you. Yeah.
Come on now. He used to wear those great collared shirts for the White Sox all those years ago. You know, Twitter. I really miss baseball.